G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
And, you know, it's been an amazing couple of weeks, actually, of building up our spiritual muscle. We've been activating things in our world. We've discovered how to activate our faith when things might seem a bit dormant. Discovered even how to activate our hope when the rest of life seems very quiet and we're wondering when the action's going to happen. So this morning, we've had faith, we've had hope, and this morning we're going to activate love. We're going to get our love muscle, which is sometimes the hardest muscle to get fit, sometimes the hardest one to get moving. We're going to bring it to life to get it activated and get it working. You know, sometimes it actually feels like it's the easiest thing to do. We're overwhelmed by a feeling and we think, wow, you know, I can love that person. Wow, that's easy. And we've been blessed, something good's happened, or the world is sunny and lovely, and it's easy to activate that. But other times it actually feels pretty much impossible. The person that we might be needing to activate our love for has just hurt us, or has hurt us in the past. Or things have happened in our world and we just don't feel like we want to love anything and anyone. And so to get that moving is a real battle. Well, today as we learn how to activate love, I believe it's actually a key for someone, and it's going to unlock something in your world that you've just been longing to release but not quite sure how to do it. That the past circumstances have shut something down for you, and this morning it's going to be opened up again. This morning, today, that your love muscle will just kind of be switched on, and life is going to shift for you and things are going to unlock. So get ready for that. First of all, I have a confession. So we have been... in our world, all around the world, people have been working from home and things like this. And, you know, in our house, Jeff has been working in my office for a couple of years now. I call it mine because I've been working at home for 13 years now, and so I feel like the office is mine. And Jeff invaded it a couple of years ago. And that's been going okay. Well, at the beginning, I'll be honest, it was really hard. I don't think I've ever said any of this to Jeff, so maybe just keep it quiet. At the beginning, it was a little bit hard. Having my space invaded, my routines upset, the way that I did things, the order of things. And said any of this to I'm not quite sure.
So maybe just keep it quiet.
Or, you know, whether it just stays the same. Probably the area that I find the hardest is the area of office music selection. My indulgence is a classical music radio station because I really love the exposure to different kinds of composers and instruments and you know, classical musical styles. And things that I've not heard before. I love those new experiences. Occasionally it gets a little bit intense, you know. Sometimes even, you know, opera's not my favourite, but if it comes on, I'll listen just in order to learn and, you know, grow in that area. But Jeff, on the other hand, is not quite as convinced. He likes the office music to be more subdued and a bit more of a consistency to it. I guess it could have something to do with the conference calls and video calls he does, but you know what? It could liven them up sometimes. Anyway, we're different. We're just different. And when I'm settled in my music, I don't always like it when I'm asked to turn it off. So there's my confession. I'll reassure you, when we got married, we did love each other. And we still do. It's okay. Jeff was the perfect gentleman. He was doing lovely things for me and, you know, make me feel treasured, and I would try and do the same thing for him, because that's the way things work when you're feeling in love. When you have that feeling like you love someone, you want to do things to please them. It's the same with a friendship. When you have an amazing friendship, a great friend that you want to keep, you do things for them. You do things that make them feel like they're your friend, that you care about them. And so whether you're, you know, in a marriage or in a friendship or other kind of relationship, when we're feeling love for that person, we automatically will do things to show that. But as life carries on, sometimes that feeling can drop out. Sometimes something can happen and we get hurt, or, you know, it just goes dull because we haven't, you know, activated it. We haven't kept that muscle moving, kept it going. And so those feelings can let you down. And, you know, even I joke about it, but, you know, even in that office, when the office seems to be shrinking, those feelings can let me down. And when other people tell me I'm talking loudly on the phone, I feel like they're talking loudly too. In fact, they're louder. And then the last straw, last week someone nicked a battery out of my mouse. Things getting invaded, and this feeling of love for these people in my family is very hard to keep moving. Well, on our wedding day, Jeff and I had a verse from the book of Philippians that we had read out at the service, and I'd love to read it to you now. It's from Philippians 2, and it's verses 1 to 11. And it says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try and impress others. Be humble, thinking of yourselves as better than thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. In fact, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being, where he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Got to say amen at that. We chose that verse. We chose that verse because even though we were in the middle of this beautiful day and in the middle of feeling incredibly in love and like everything was going to be happily ever after, we had a little hunch, and we knew from other people's experiences and watching other people's worlds and lives that this amazing feeling we had on that one day, that it was just probably not going to be enough. It was not going to be enough to see us through right to the end. That feeling had frailties and weaknesses. And if we wanted this to last, we wanted to be in for the long haul, that we needed something more. And so we chose that verse for two reasons. Because in Philippians 2 there, it encourages us. Because we knew we needed to be encouraged to activate love at times. We knew that there would come times when we wouldn't be able to do it ourselves, but we'd need something behind us going, come on, you can do it. And the other reason that we chose it is because we needed a greater example to look up to. We needed something bigger than ourselves, greater than ourselves, of what we were capable in ourselves to look up to, but not only just to look up to and go, wow, that's a great experience, but also something that would empower us to activate that love, to empower us to be what we wanted to be and do what we wanted to do. Those two things that we find in Philippians there, they're such a key, not just to surviving in marriage. I mean, that's my example, that's my experience here this morning, that's my little story to tell you. But those two things are so key for every relationship, for every friendship, for every parent, for every child, for every colleague at work, no matter who it is that we're relating to. Those two things are such a key to making those relationships work and making them work for the long haul. We need encouragement to get it, activate love. And we need an example that's bigger than us. So I want to look at those two things just a little bit closer this morning to see what it actually means. What good is the encouragement? what good is it? Well, Philippians 2 begins by challenging us. Encouragement often challenges us. It doesn't just say, yeah, you can do it. It actually challenges us in that saying, you can do it. It's actually this behind it is going, I know you can do it. So dig in, find that thing deeper. What is it in there that you need to reach into in order to do it? And Philippians is doing that because the writer Paul starts prodding and poking. And he says, has something happened in your life? Has it been affected in any way by knowing Jesus? Then remember. Remember. He says, remember what he has done in your world. Remember those times when others were his hands and feet helping you. Like, remember those. Remember the words that God has whispered into your heart when you really needed it, that brought love and compassion. Remember, remember, keep remembering. It's a challenge to remember. It's an encouragement to remember, to unlock what happens. Because when we remember, it brings up a response in us that activates love in return. I can't help responding in love when I remember what Jesus has done for me. I can't help responding in love to him when I remember how he comforted me when I was sad. Remember. And Paul says it this way in the Message translation. He puts it, the Message translation like unlocks it in a different way. He said, if his love has made any difference in your life, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others to get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Be kind. You know, that's what happens when we remember. when we remember all the people that have sown into our world, when we remember that that person who just stole my mouse battery actually has given me so much more. When we remember that, you know, just all those little bits in our world that other people acting in our life, when we remember those things, then it needs to flick a switch in us and respond to what those things were to us. When we want to activate love, we start thinking of others. We start forgetting about who I am in the situation and flicking it and turning it around to other people. It's as simple as that. Be kind. Activate love by remembering and being kind. In Luke 6:31, Jesus says, he actually says, do to others as you would like them to do to you. A lot of us might have grown up thinking of that, remembering it, hearing it as the golden rule. And I know that I say it all the time to my kids and they get sick of hearing it. But it's so simple. It's such a simple key to activating that love. Doing to others what you would actually like them to do to you. Treating them the way you would like them to treat you. What is it my partner would like? What is it my friend would like? What is it my parent would like? What is it my child would like? My colleague. You know, when we activate that love by remembering, as Paul encourages us, then we step in and we think about what that other person would like. And it becomes as simple as reaching out a hand, like Peter and Paul did when they walked past a lame man and he called out and asked for help. And they said, well, we don't have anything, but what we have, in Jesus' name, rise up. And they gave him the power of healing through Jesus' name by reaching out their hand and bringing him up. It's as simple as, you know, something like Peter's mother, who immediately after she gets up, is healed, she gets up and she starts serving Jesus. She gives back. She remembers what Jesus has done for her and she begins to serve to him. It's as simple as the young boy who gave up his lunch for like thousands of people who said, yeah, I'll go hungry. Here's my lunch. And then watched Jesus do an incredible miracle in the process. And it's as simple as the church in Corinth who just said, we'll gather things together and we'll give it to another church in Jerusalem. Because we know, we remember what Jesus has done in our life and we're going to do what we would like done to us. There's so many different things, different examples that are so simple and so small, and they're not the big stories necessarily in the Bible. They're just the simple act of one person or two people just doing something kind for another person. You know, we read about those sorts of things on Facebook, you know, in other places, social media. There's often feeds coming up that are celebrating the kind things that people are doing. And it's really fun to read those sometimes and encourage us. But instead of reading about other people doing them, let's be the ones who write those stories. Not so much that we trumpet our own things that we've done, but be the stories for other people to write about. Be the stories where people go, guess what happened to me? Because this person did it. Because you did it. That's what it means to activate love. Remember what it is that Jesus has done in your world. Remember what it is that Jesus has done through other people. Remember what it is with those people in your world who have done things to you and respond be kind. It's as simple as that. Well, the second thing that Jesus and I took from Philippians into our marriage back in January 1997 was a greater example to look up to and be empowered by. In Philippians 2, starting at verse 5, it says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." It is possible to activate love because Jesus has gone before us. It's possible to activate love because someone greater has done it first. He didn't do it as God. Jesus did not come down as God and say, "This is how you do life." No, he gave that up. He let go of himself. It says he didn't cling to being God. He gave it up and he became a man, just like you and me. He just became a human. For our sake, he did that. For our sake, he let go of any right and authority that he had to be God. And it was as a human, as a man, that he followed God's instructions, that he obeyed everything that was put before him. No matter what it looked like, no matter how hard it was, he obeyed it. He listened. And it was also as a man that he gave, that he healed, that he cried, that he laughed. In all those feelings that he had, in all those circumstances, Jesus was a man. And it was as a man that he loved us and died for us on a cross. It was a man that he gave up his very life for us. He demonstrated the ultimate activation of love by loving us even when we didn't deserve it. And because he did that, he showed us that it's possible to live as a man, as a woman, and to activate love. He showed us it's possible. Why? Because he showed us that even he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do these things. Through the Holy Spirit, that he showed us how to activate love, how to tap into that, how to reach for something higher than what we're capable of. When we activate love by the Holy Spirit, we're following the example that Jesus set to us. That the Holy Spirit is available to all of us, not just to Jesus, that he said it was for all of us. And I know I haven't quite worked out sometimes how to tap into that power. You know, I haven't worked out, you know, how to reach in and use that power to raise someone from the dead. But that's the same Holy Spirit. It says in Romans 8, says the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That same Spirit. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. That same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you. When you believe in Jesus, when you love him, when you follow him, it's the same Spirit. Like, isn't that amazing? And because Jesus has led the way as a man living by the Holy Spirit, we can do it too. There's nothing stopping us learning how to activate that love, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter how hard it might seem at times. There is nothing stopping us when we know Jesus and are filled with the Holy Spirit of awakening up that muscle and activating love in our own world. And so, you know, I know I joked about the office thing, but actually it really was hard at times. Sometimes it is really hard, even to get on with your spouse or your parent or your child or your colleague. Sometimes those things really are hard. But as I reach in, as I remember what Jesus has done for me, I can reach in and I can activate a response of love because of what he's done. It's not just what other people have done in my world that activates that love. It's actually what Jesus has done, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so I do leave my choice of music mostly for when I'm alone, and I enjoy that in my space, and I learn how to work in an office with my family and enter into that space and enjoy that space. It's not just giving up what I want. It's actually learning then to enjoy what other people enjoy as well. And so for that, I have learnt to enjoy different kinds of music. And I've even learnt to listen to some rap occasionally. That's not Jeff's choice, by the way. You know, it's funny that when you just suddenly activate that love and step out of your own thoughts and your own desires, that you actually open your eyes and learn so much more. So over the past week, few weeks, it's been so good to hear how we can activate our spiritual lives in faith and in hope and in love. Because if we want to see our lives through to the best way possible, you know, we need to be spiritually fit. We need these things to be moving and active. And for activating love, we need to be encouraged to do that. We need to remember, and we need to look at something greater than us. We need to look higher and be empowered by something greater, looking at Jesus and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what is it you need right now? Like, do you need a bit of encouragement? Are you needing to remember, you know, what Jesus has done for you? Do you need to think back and remember those things? Do you need to remember what other people have done in your world? Do you need to remember and respond and think, how would I like other people to treat me? How am I going to treat them? How am I going to be kind today? Or is it a greater example that you need? Do you need to look up to Christ? Do you need to learn who he is? Do you need to discover him and his Holy Spirit so that you have something much greater and much bigger than you to reach out to and to grab hold of when you need to activate love, when you need to work out how to love when you just can't do it? Well, as you're listening here this morning, I want to give that opportunity to you to reach out and to discover who Jesus is, because Jesus is God who let go of that. He let go of being God and came down to earth. He didn't hold on to that. He became a human, a man for us, for you, because he loves us. And as a human, he activated his love through the Holy Spirit and died on the cross for us so that we could be a part of God's family, so that we could be included in God's love. And so this morning, if you are needing just that, if you are discovering for the first time that I can't do this on my own, I need something greater than me, and you want to reach out to Jesus this morning, all you have to do is ask Him. You just recognize that He is God and that He came down to earth for us. That He let go of that for a time in order to die for you. And as you recognize that, you just start thanking Him right there in your lounge room, wherever you are. Just start thanking Him and saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you activated your love for me. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. Thank you that you gave up everything for me." And in that space, as you're thanking Him, you might want to say sorry for something. I need to say, "I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry that I've ignored you. I'm sorry that I haven't followed you. I'm sorry that I didn't know you." And as you say sorry, you will find that the Holy Spirit will enter into your spirit right now. That He will come into your actual being. That you will feel the presence of God in you. That you will feel a tangible sense that there's something more going on than just you right now. That God is touching you. That God is healing you. That God is washing you. And you have this feeling of being clean. And He's forgiving you. And then He's filling you with His love and His goodness and His Spirit to empower you, to make you, to push you further in this life, to enable you to be the very best person that you could ever be, to be the person that He created you to be. Right now, as you might be doing that, just let Him touch you. And I'm going to pray just to finish up. And let His presence wash over you as we worship at the end.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.